First service, I forgot to turn this on. I was like, it's not working. Why is it not working? Technology. Well, good morning, everyone. Come on. The second service. Good morning, everyone. There you go. I got more response first service. It's great to be here today, and thank you for your generous giving today. The offering was helping to go towards a vehicle for me for Ecuador, so thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayers, and I hope that as I share today, you'll know a little bit more about how you can be praying for me and what are still things that need to happen before I can go to Ecuador. But this is me. I am Rachel, and this is my new prayer card. If you have not picked up one, make sure you get one. They're in the, what do you call that place when you first walked in? Outside the fellowship hall. Narthex, okay. I thought that was a Narthex, but whatever. Maybe there's two Narthexes. I don't know. But I just want to thank you for your generous giving and your prayers, because I am 100-plus monthly funded each month. Yes, yeah. That is good. You know, there's that time where I was like, is this really, really going to happen? But God is good. He has moved in people's hearts. He's moved in a lot of your hearts. And I want to thank you corporately. And also individually, I know a lot of you have said, yeah, I'm standing behind you financially as well as prayerfully. So thank you so much. That's me. Woo-hoo, thank you so much. With all my languages up there, I'm a saganalo. Gracias. And it's a blessing to be able to know that that is taken care of. I'm going into this next term 100%+ funded, which is good because the term should be about 3 years, Lord willing. And we know things can change in 3 years, so it's good to be going above what I need. And God is a good God. He's a good God. Is he not? Amen. And speaking about how good God is, I think it's interesting how this service has all come together. Just so you know, the only song that I picked out for this service was a song at the end of the service. A Savior Can Solve Every Problem. I had no say on any of the other songs. None. So that just shows how the Holy Spirit works and brings us together, and how on this Sunday, God knew I needed to share this message because I needed to hear it as much as I'm sure many of you need to hear this. So I pray that it is an encouragement and a blessing to you, as it's a reminder to me, and what I'm saying I really need to hear as well. But that's usually how God works. He usually reminds us of things we need to be reminded of. So I am heading to Ecuador. I'm heading back to South America because, as Pastor Bob mentioned, I started my missions career 20 years ago in South America. I lived in Paraguay, that's where Paraguay is. And I'm going further north. But I actually will be in the southern hemisphere. All right? Because Quito is where the equator goes through, but I'm going to be living down here. Next to Loja is a city called Catamayo, which, if you look here, in this valley, that's going to be my home, that valley. And I'll be surrounded by the Andes Mountains. So I will be living in a valley, and I don't know, after preaching this message, I'm like, do I want to live in a valley? Because we're going to be talking about mountains and valleys, but there's purpose in both. And so that's where I'll be heading to. So when you guys bring a missions trip down to Ecuador, which I hope you will, and you get to see what my life is like and ministry is like, you'll fly into Quito first, and you know, we can go stand in the middle of both worlds, northern and southern hemisphere, see the water go one way and see the water go the other way, and you can try to balance an egg on a nail, things like that. And then we'll go to the southern hemisphere to where I live, where I will be living in Catamayo. If you can't remember, just think Catamayo. I don't know, Catamayo. Whatever works for you, but it's in the southern part of the country, so it's closer to Peru, actually, than to Colombia. So that's where I will be headed. As many of you know, I've shared discipleship training courses, which some of you in this room did take, and I thank you for that. And then trauma healing training in sessions which some of you in this room have taken, and I pray that you were that it really benefited you and helped you. And that's pretty much what I'm going to be doing, is discipleship and evangelism with women. But it will be, instead of missionary colleagues, it will be with Ecuadorian women. And what did I say first service? I wrote it down because I was like, that's profound. The idea is that people will know Jesus, love Jesus, and then grow in Jesus. I just have to say that in Spanish. Conocer Jesús, amor Jesús, y crecer en Cristo. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I'll work on it. But so it's women's evangelism, discipleship, just making people understand who God is and fall in love with Him more and more. And it's a privilege to be able to help people in that journey of discipleship. And I encourage all of us in this room, find your Timothys, Pauls or Paulas, find your Tessas. Find people that we're pouring our lives into, because we are called to make disciples, every single one of us. Not just me, not just Pastor Bob, but all of us. Because Jesus gave that mandate to all of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Your nation happens to be right here. But my nation will be Ecuador. But actually, you have a lot of immigrants in America too. So you have an opportunity to speak into their lives as well. So what does women's ministry look like? It's working alongside the local church. It's building women's programs and understanding culturally what will be culturally appropriate for a woman's program. I don't want to just take the Western idea of a woman's Bible study and a woman's everything and just plant it in Ecuador. That's not the idea. The idea is to understand, how do they worship God? How do they fellowship? You know, what is that going to look like? Is that going to be, you know, going out into their homes and visiting them there, doing one-to-one discipleship or small group discipleship? A lot of it is building relationships, which is really fun to do. And but that's what it's going to look like generally, specifically. I can't tell you when I come back from my home assignment or from my first term. I'll tell you more specifically. Or when you come visit me, then you'll be able to see it firsthand. So, and you can go to Ecuador a lot easier than Ethiopia. And it's only one time zone different. It's the same time zone as Chicago. You don't have to deal with jet lag. So it's really easy. So that's who I am. That's where I'm going. This is what we've been looking at. But I want to talk today about God, the mountain mover. We read this scripture that in Luke 17, it says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now in Matthew 17, it says, faith can move a mountain. You can say to this mountain, go into the sea, and it will move. But I want to think about this idea of increasing our faith, but then how much Jesus said that we have to start with. Faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. And even if I had a mustard seed in my hand, even probably the people in the front row couldn't even see it, right? Mustard seeds are really, really small. So God isn't saying you have to have this tremendously huge faith. He's saying faith is small as a mustard seed. Say to this mulberry bush, be uprooted and go to the sea. Or say to this mountain, move, and it will move. So I want to encourage you with that, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like, oh, I don't have enough faith. Anyone ever feel that way? Anyone ever feel like, I just need more faith? Okay, a few people. Everyone else has gotten it all figured out. Well, come share with me your secret then, if you have a lot of faith. Because I'm always asking God to increase my faith. But He's saying, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this. And it can happen. So if you walk away from here not even hearing anything else I say, but like, you're like, wow, I do have a little bit of faith. Move in that faith. Walk in that faith. But do something with your faith. Just don't say, oh, this is a nice little faith. Do something with it, okay? So, faith can move mountains. And so we're going to talk today about what are these mountains in our lives, what are the valleys in our lives, and how can we see God moving with faith and trusting Him. You guys have been with me on the journey this past year, and I'm so thankful for you guys. I feel like I know you a lot more after a year. Some of you, you've known me since I was, well, probably about that high. I haven't grown that much height-wise. But there's a lot of new faces in this congregation, which is wonderful. But I feel like I've actually gotten to know a lot of you a lot more. You've gotten to see me sing in the choir, sing two cantatas with the choir, and do special music. And every once in a while, you hear updates as to what's happening. It's been quite a journey this year, hasn't it? You saw me come back from the field. I think I shared with you I was just like exhausted and just like, oh, I just need to rest. I need to rest, recoup. God allowed me to do that. And then God started to say, all right, where am I calling you to next? You got to start exploring that a bit. So I went to South America on a vision trip. And I went to Ecuador and I went to Peru and saw the work that God's doing there and came back and I ask you guys to pray with me, okay, God, where is it you want me to go? And then God confirmed, it's Ecuador. But then I realized I had to go back to Ethiopia, and I had to finish my life there, and I called it my farewell tour to Ethiopia, where I closed up everything, packed everything, said my goodbyes, and then I came back, and then it was time to switch gears while grieving Ethiopia, but switching gears, preparing to go to Ecuador. And you guys have been part of that journey this whole year, and I'm so thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for you guys asking how are things going and, you know, how can I pray for you and being faithful and giving, because missionaries still need you to give when we're on home assignment, because it's not like I went out and got another full-time job. I already have a full-time job, and that was to raise support and to touch base with supporters and churches. So you guys made that possible, that I had a place to live and I was able to go and travel because of your faithful giving. So thank you so much for that, because now we're looking at, you know, this coming to the end of my home assignment and prepping and getting ready to go to Ecuador. But you guys have been on this journey with me, and I just want to thank you for being on that journey. And speaking for missionaries on our behalf, thank you for walking alongside of us on this journey, because when we come back, as I'm going to share, some of the mountains that we face is that we've left our support system. We've left our friends. And so a mountain that we face is we come back to our home culture and we have to try to attach again after being gone. And your lives have moved on and my life has moved on, and so we have to reconnect once again. And I thank you for that. I thank you for helping this to feel like home for me for the past year. And that's been a beautiful thing, but it has been a mountain, because I'm like, they weren't with me in Ethiopia. They don't know exactly what my life was like there, but I don't exactly know what your life is like here. And so getting to know each other and spend time with each other, we've been able to build that relationship. So now, as I go to Ecuador, you're like, I know Rachel. She's not just this little short redhead that occasionally talks about going and doing mission stuff, but you actually know me a little bit better. So that is a mountain, is building those relationships when you leave one place and you go to another place. So thank you for helping me climb that mountain. As I said, funding. Funding was a huge mountain for me. I felt like it was that mountain. I'm like, is there a peak to this mountain? Because I felt like I just kind of got stuck on plateaus, and God was just saying, just watch, I'm going to move. I'm going to move. And God moved in a lot of your hearts, and God made it possible, and now it's like, see, I told you I was going to do it. Like, just trust me, Rachel. But, you know, I climbed a little bit and saw a little bit of progress, but then I still thought about everything else that needed to be raised. But God is faithful. God is faithful. So that funding, that mountain of funding is done. And the car, the vehicle that I will need in Ecuador, you guys are helping with that even today. So God is helping with that mountain. And then I think about the mountain of like my health or my mom's health or just the family member's health to make sure everybody is stable, because it kind of gives me peace to know that I'm released to go and not have to think about things. But I'm thankful for this year that I've been around to help with my family, to help with my mom's treatments. And so that's been a mountain that I've been climbing this whole past year along with my family. And thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers with that, because, you know, it's not like you just like look at me at the bottom and say, have fun climbing. I feel like you guys have been climbing with me, which is an amazing thing. I'm going to talk about valleys in a minute here, but I just take a look at this picture. Notice that there's mountains and a valley, but then there's new mountains. And I'm going to share with you about a new mountain that actually God has placed just within the last couple days in my life. But you get to the top of the mountain, think about it. You get to the top and you finally see this amazing view. And a couple years ago when I was visiting a friend in Germany, because I was on my way to Switzerland for a training, so I stopped in Germany to visit a friend. And she's like, we're going to climb this mountain, you know, one of the mountains in Germany. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm not a hiker or anything like that. And I have to admit, I had a really bad attitude the whole time we were climbing. I'm like, aren't we there yet? Oh my goodness, like, come on. And she's like, let's go. And I'm like, I don't want to go any further. But guys, when I got to the top of that mountain and I saw that view of the snow-covered mountains of Germany, I was like, you know, like, it was worth it. It was worth the climb. Plus, there was a really good German restaurant up there, and so I had really good German food, too. So, it was like a win-win situation. But the climb up was not easy, and there were times I really wanted to quit. And there were times I'm just like, you know what, just go to the top and, you know, take a picture for me or something. But see, that's not how it is. When God is calling you to climb a mountain, you have to climb the mountain for yourself. Because how I see the top of that view is going to be completely different how you see the top of that view. But God wants us to experience it for ourselves. Because it's our mountain, but He doesn't say we have to climb it alone. So, I praise God for that experience and that view and that amazing food that I got to eat at the top of the mountain in Germany. So, we've been talking about mountains. So, the question I have for you are, what are your mountains? What are the things that you're like, I'm not really looking forward to doing this in my life? I know it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. I know it's going to not always be easy. But God has called me to face that mountain. And I didn't put this song on there, but I think about, there's this song that says, I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. And I think if we try to climb a mountain with one hand, is that going to work well? I'm just like climbing like this. No, right? So if our hands are wide open, that means we're surrendering as we're climbing. And we're trusting God. It's like we're reaching for that next step. Climb with your arms, your hands wide open. But what are your mountains? Some of you may be able to say, boom, this is it, Rachel. But some of you will be like, I need to actually think about that question a little bit. I challenge you to go back to your house tonight. Ask God, what are my mountains? And then, when you find that mountain, you say, I'm going to give you that mountain, God. Because I thank you that I don't have to climb that mountain by myself. And I encourage you to find somebody that you can share. Hey, this is the mountain I need to climb. Can you help me with this? Because God calls us to live in community, not to live by ourselves. And there's no way I could do life as a missionary without community. There's no possible way. Because I didn't raise all my support and I can't pray myself out and all the things that other people are doing for me to make it possible. So I mentioned that there are valleys in between the mountains. And we're probably very familiar with this verse since part of the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, my rod and thy staff, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes valleys seem like this place where you're like, oh, I don't want to go in the valley. You know, I just had this amazing mountaintop experience, just saw God in amazing ways, saw how He moved me, what He did. And then we're down in the valley and we're like, well, this isn't that fun. And then I think, wait a second. I'm going to go live in a valley for like the next 3 years. So apparently there's a reason for the valleys as much as there's a reason for the mountaintops. When you're in the valleys, I want you to think about these questions, because these are questions that I think about. What do I need to grieve? I don't like grieving. I feel like I've been grieving now for past year or so. Grieving life and ministry in Ethiopia. I'm going to have to grieve my life here in America. And then I have to grieve what I know was norm in South America as I adjust to a new culture. But if you don't grieve, you don't let go. And so I could hold on to Ethiopia and be like, oh yeah, God, send me to Ecuador. But this hand is not free to do what God wants me to do. I have to let go of it so that I can give everything to one place. And this has been my visual throughout this year. God's like, let go of this. This was beautiful. This was wonderful. But this season is past. I'm preparing you for another season. So turn. Focus on that. All these things that He's let me do in the past have prepared me for this in the future. But I can't hold on to that. So what is it that you need to grieve and let go of? Maybe that's why you're sitting in a valley for such a long time, is because you don't want to let go. You just want to hold on to it because it's comfortable. But it said here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, God will comfort us. We don't need to comfort ourselves. I just actually picked up on that as I said that. Second question is, what do you need to learn? Because while you're in that valley and you're grieving, it's a time of preparation. This time here in the States has been a time of preparation. Just hasn't been a time to enjoy, you know, foods I don't get to eat and see people I don't normally get to see. It's been a time to prepare. And you know, God stirred in my heart to say, hey, discipleship, trauma healing, you're going to do that in Ecuador, but why don't you prepare and practice doing it here in English, where you already speak English well. Learn the material, practice it, give it in the hands of other people. Then, when you go to Ecuador, then you can do it in Spanish. But there's a time of preparation. There's things that we need to learn. And I think it's the teacher in me that's just always going to want to keep learning and learning and learning. And, I mean, I still have... learning in itself is going to be another mountain for me. Like culture, Ecuadorian Spanish, you know, their food, their customs, what to do, what not to do, how to offend, how not to offend, you know. All of that is a whole other mountain for me. But in this time of preparation, there are things that God wants me to learn now. So what does God want to teach you right now? And then the third question is, how do you need to grow? Because it's one thing to learn something and to say, okay, I know that knowledge. But if you don't do anything with that knowledge, you really haven't learned it. You really haven't let it impact your life. They always say the definition of learning is a change of behavior. So you just can't say, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Well, if you know, then do something about it. So God is launching you for service because you're growing. And when you grow, it's like if you wear a shirt that doesn't fit you anymore, you're not comfortable, right? So when God's preparing you for the next thing, if you just kind of try to stay in this thing that you always know, and God's like, no, I want something more for you. He's launching you into service. He's growing you. And growing is a good thing. I don't care how old you are. You should always be growing in your faith. Always be growing in your knowledge of who God is. Because if you stop growing, then you're not gonna understand who God is more and more. Because we always, like, He's infathomable. There's so much to Him that we don't know. So, What do you need to grieve? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to learn during this time of preparation? And then how do you need to grow? As God is launching you for service, what are the areas that you're growing in? So I mentioned, you know, you go through the mountains, and then you're in this time of valley, but then what are your next mountains? And you're like, whoa, I just spent time in the valley, like, but again, if you've grown, then it's time for the next things that God has for you, which means it's the time to continue to grow. And for me, this is the hard part for me to share with you guys, because like, I was like, my bags are packed. I moved out of the house I was renting for the past year. You know, things were starting to get all lined up. And, you know, here I am July 4th, enjoying the holidays with my family and eating hot dog and hamburger, the things I love to do on July 4th. And I get an email from SIM Ecuador. And it says, you know, hey, you know, we're trying to work through this visa process. It's not working right now, so you need to just wait to come. What? I need to wait? Well, my bags are packed. I've already started grieving. I arranged with Pastor Bob. This was my commissioning Sunday. But God said, wait. Because it's something that's not in any of one of our controls. And a lot of missionaries have trouble getting visas. And so this is my big mountain that God has just placed in front of me. And I've spent the last like 72 hours crying a lot because I'm disappointed and sad. And God keeps saying to me, surrender and trust. The same thing he said to me when he called me to missions as a teenager. The same thing he said whenever he called me to Ecuador. But now here I am with my bags packed, ready to get on a plane. I was supposed to get on a plane next week. And he's saying, wait. This is out of your control. Just wait. And I've decided I'm not even going to ask God, well, why? Why? There's no purpose in me asking why, because I see this much of the picture that God sees this big picture. God has directed me and guided me all these years. He's always been faithful to me. So there's no purpose in asking God, but why? God knows what he's doing. And maybe I just get to hang out with you guys a little bit longer. I don't know. So I'm in this process of waiting still. It's actually not a new concept for me. I've been doing it a lot this past year. But I'm waiting because that new mountain of the visa that I need to live in Ecuador is a mountain. And I ask that you join me in prayer about this, because it's not just for me that I get to go to Ecuador. It's some of my colleagues that are there right now trying to get visas to stay there. Governments change. But God never changes. Amen? God is sovereign. And God is above all governments. So, that's my God that I serve. So this is a mountain, but it's not a mountain that he can't move. So, it's a little bit easier to say second service than first service. I feel like this. The more I say it, the easier it is to accept it as my reality. Here's a verse that encourages me. And again, God gave me this to speak to you guys. Gave it to me before I even knew about the visa issue. The topic he wanted me to share with you guys, I had no clue that God's going to like, here's another mountain. So it's like, God is so good. He like knows what we need to hear when we need to hear it. So I don't know who this is for as much as I need to hear it. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing. When we're facing mountains, guys, we have to start proclaiming God's word, because otherwise a spirit of doubt and a spirit of like, is this really going to happen, can be in our hearts. But when we start proclaiming God's Word, it reminds us of who God is, what He's called us to. And so I'm choosing to hold on to this. Nothing is too hard for you. It doesn't mean I'm not sad. It doesn't mean I'm not disappointed. But I know nothing, nothing is too hard for God. So I don't know what kind of mountain you're facing, but nothing is too hard for God. It says He created the heavens and the earth by His great power. So nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing. Remember His faithfulness. Then be faithful to the call on your life. Whatever it is that God called you to do, don't just be like, thank you, God, for being faithful. Walk in faithfulness. Walk by faith. And isn't faith believing in something when we don't see it? So walk by faith. I've actually got that tattooed on my foot. And I have God is faithful tattooed here. Like, these reminders, God is faithful, walk by faith. I walked by faith when God said, move out of that house. I walked by faith when God said, pack your bags. And I'm choosing to walk by faith when He's saying, just hold up, wait, you're going, just not yet. Walk by faith. Here's a song that's, if you listen to K-Love, you probably hear this, it's Do It Again. And I think Elevation Music sings it. But this is the bridge to it. Is I have seen you move, come move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You've made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Again, it's proclaiming and believing that God can move that mountain. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Walk in that confidence. Great is His faithfulness. It's not just a hymn that I've sung since I was a child. It's, I can see it. When I sing that hymn, I think of all the different ways that God has been faithful in my life. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Don't just let it be words, but reminders of those stones. He said, I've done this for you. I've done this for you. I've moved this mountain. I've seen you through this valley. And I'm saying this with a mountain in front of me. But I believe that He's going to do it again. What dream has God placed in your life? Trust Him, believe in Him, and walk in faith. And watch Him move the mountains. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. And this world around us is looking at us as examples because we get thrown curveballs all the time. And we can choose to be like, forget it. It's too hard. Can't do it. Well then, why don't we live in the power that God has given to us? You can do it because God is the one that's going to do it in your life. I want to end with this verse that Joe read to begin with. And every time I read this, I'm like, wow. It just impacts me as I think through it. And I've underlined some things that to me just really stood out. Promises I really need to cling on to. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly. Far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. So my little puny human brain, I might have an idea how it's supposed to play out. Oh, this is the way it's going to happen. This is how it's going to, this is the date I'm going to leave. But He wants to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think or imagine. According to the power at work within us. That power, the Holy Spirit, that's at work within us, gives us the strength to face those mountains and to surrender those mountains and to trust God. Why? Why do we go through all this stuff? Verse 21, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's all about God. It's all about so he gets the glory, so he gets the accolades, that when I do buy that plane ticket and they say, you can come on this date, that's God's glory. That's not SIM Ecuador's glory or SIM USA's glory or Rachel Wilson's glory or your glory as Northern Alliance Church. It's God's glory. Everything is to be done to glorify God. So, what are you thinking can't happen? God wants to do abundantly more than we can even think or imagine. Because He wants to show up, and He's going to get the glory, guys. Because that's why we do anything. It's for His glory. That's why I go to Ecuador. That's why you're here in Pennsylvania serving the Lord, however you are. It's for Him to get the glory. So may He get the glory throughout all generations, forever and ever. And when we say amen, we say, and let it be. Amen. Let Him get the glory. Let me just pray for you, and I think you're going to pray for me. So, God, I don't know the hearts of every person here. I don't know what they're facing. All I know is that You said to me a week ago, this is the topic I need to share with this congregation. And God, I did not even know what this week was going to bring. I did not even know the mountain that You were going to place in front of me. That was going to change how things looked for me for the next couple months. But God, I know that You're a God that can move mountains. And I believe. And I've seen You do it, and I'll see You do it again. So whatever it is, whatever mountains people need to have moved in their hearts, I pray that they will have faith as small as a mustard seed. And that they can just trust You. They can surrender it, and they can trust. And I thank You, God, that You do hear our hearts. I thank You for the times in the valley that You bring us through where we get to grieve, and we get to learn, and we get to grow. So God, help all of us to never get to a point where we're like, I'm just going to sit on this mountaintop and enjoy Your presence all the time. That's not life. That's what You'll let us do in eternity. But right here, while we're here on this earth, help us as we go up and down these mountains, as we're in the valleys. Thank You, God, that You're there to comfort us. You're there to guide us. And that You give us one another. So I link my shield of faith with my brothers and sisters here. And I believe that You'll move that mountain. And I pray these things in Your holy name. Amen.